a grocery store in Grantham. The First World War broke out a year later. My father, a deeply patriotic man, tried to enlist no fewer than 6 times, but was rejected on medical grounds. His younger brother, Edward, died on active service in Salonika in 1917. Few British families escaped such a bereavement, and Remembrance Day after the war was observed throughout the country both strictly and intensely. 4 years after arriving in Grantham, my father met my mother, Beatrice Ethel Stevenson, through the local Methodist church. She had her own business as a dressmaker. They were married in that church in May 1917, and my sister Muriel was born in 1921. By 1919, my parents had saved enough to take out a mortgage to buy their own shop in North Parade. Our home was over this shop. In 1923, my father opened a second shop in Hunting Tower Road. On the 13th of October 1925, I was born over the shop at North Parade. Our shop and house were situated at a busy crossroads, and the main railway line, for Grantham was an important railway junction, was just 100 yards away. We could set our clocks by the Flying Scotsman as it thundered through. What I most regretted was that at this time we could not have a garden. Not until the end of the Second World War did my father buy a house with a long garden further along North Parade, on which we had set our hearts some years previously. Life over the shop is much more than a phrase. It is something which those who've lived it know to be quite distinctive. For one thing, you're always on duty. People would knock on the door at almost any hour of the night or weekend if they ran out of bacon, sugar, butter, or eggs. And living over the shop, children see far more of their parents than in most other walks of life. We had much more time to talk than some other families, for which I've always been grateful. My father was a specialist grocer. He always aimed to supply the best quality produce, and the shop itself suggested this. Behind the counter there were 3 rows of splendid mahogany spice drawers with sparkling brass handles, and on top of these stood large black lacquered tea canisters. One of the tasks I sometimes shared was the weighing out of tea, sugar and biscuits from the sacks and boxes in which they arrived into 1-pound and 2-pound bags. In a cool back room we called the old bakehouse, hung sides of bacon, which had to be boned and cut up for slicing. Wonderful aromas of spices, coffee and smoked hams would waft through the house. I was born into a home which was practical, serious and intensely religious. Indeed, my father was much in demand as a lay preacher in and around Grantham. Our lives revolved around Methodism. The family went to Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock, but before that, I would have gone to morning Sunday school. There was Sunday school again in the afternoon. Later, from about the age of 12, I played the piano for the smaller children to sing the hymns. Then my parents would usually go out again to the Sunday evening service. This I found somewhat too much of a good thing, and on a few occasions I remember trying to get out of going. But when I said to my father that my friends were able to go out for a walk instead and I would like to join them, he would reply, "Never do things just because other people do them." In fact, this was one of his favourite expressions, used when I wanted to learn dancing or sometimes when I wanted to go to the cinema or out for the day somewhere. Whatever I felt at the time, the sentiment stood me in good stead, as it did my father. My father's sense of duty, however, always had its gentler side. I remember a discussion between my father and a churchgoer about the prodigal son of a friend, who, after running through his parents' savings, had turned up penniless and with a young family on their doorstep. The churchgoer was clear. The boy was no good, would never be any good, and should be shown the door. My father's